Father, we come before you in confidence. We thank you that we can draw before your throne of grace with confidence in your goodness and your mercy to each and every one of us. So as we reflect on this episode in the life of Moses, we ask, speak to us, be very near, that we may hear from you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's great to see so many of you here today. It's good to see you all on time. And did anybody else wake up and Google what time it was, just in case they had somehow slept in or not up early enough or whatever? It'd be bad if the ministers didn't arrive in church, wouldn't that be? That wouldn't be good. But here we are, and we find Moses in another episode of his story. And as Simon was talking to us last week, he's been standing at the burning bush. And what's so amazing about this bush burning in the desert, I mean, there would have been bushes on fire all the time in the desert, but it didn't burn up. It stayed as it was, on fire, burning for the Lord. And he's standing before Yahweh, and he hears the voice of the Lord say, I am who I am, and I am going to send you. And he tells Moses that he's going to go to the Hebrews, to the Israelites in Egypt, and tell them that I am has sent him. And it's time to leave. It's time to go. He's going to lead them in the name of the Lord out of oppression and slavery into a good land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That's an amazing mission, isn't it? That's an amazing thing to hear from within a bush that's burning but doesn't burn up. To hear that the Lord has chosen you and he's going to equip you for the job. And Moses says, he doesn't say, yes, Lord, I'm going, I'm away, I'll be off. He says, I don't know, Lord, I'm not too sure about that. His first response is to question. You know, God has given Moses an idea of his plan. His plan, his purpose for the people of Israel. And he tells Moses, this is going to be your place in this. And Moses' first response is one of doubt and unbelief. He says, oh Lord, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they say, who do you think you are coming here? Who do you think you are coming here and telling us what to do and where to go? He says, Lord, why would you use me? Why me? I haven't got the best speaking voice. I never have the right words to say. I'm slow of speech and I'm slow of tongue. He asks questions and he makes excuses. And we have a few slides on the PowerPoint. And what Moses is doing here, firstly, is he's questioning God's plan and he's questioning God's choice. Moses questions and has objections to begin with, you know, and what he says is, what if they don't believe me? It might be a natural question. You might say, well, these are incredible words. What if nobody believes me? What if they do say to me, who do you think you are? And he says, who am I to go before Pharaoh? Look at me, I've been in the desert for 40 years. Who am I to go before such a man? And it's natural to ask these questions. But where it's coming from is a place of the lack of confidence, a place of unbelief, a place of maybe unbelief of Moses' God-given ability and his plan, his purpose. Or maybe has a wee bit of unbelief in the power and the promises and the purpose of God. You know, but he's standing in front of a burning bush and he's hearing the voice of the Lord and still he questions. And still his unbelief and his doubts get the better of him. How true of that is us. You know, very often we can be staring in the face of God's goodness to us. We can be staring in the face of his provision for us and still feel doubt. And still feel disbelief. Oh Lord, why? Why me? Don't send me. Why do I have to do that? And it might be because we're unaware of our own gifts and our own ability. That we prefer to put them under a basket and hide them and just say, oh, I'm fine the way I am. I don't want to be going anywhere, Lord. Don't send me. Maybe we've lost our awareness of just how good the Lord is. Of just how able he is. Now we need to remind ourselves of the sovereignty of God. He is king. He has plans and purposes for us. Maybe we just lack that confidence in ourselves. Maybe we read stories like the story of Moses and think, well, that's all well and good for them back then. But God will never do anything like that with me. He'll never do anything like that in my life. He'll never use me in a way like that. But God reminds us of his word. He reminds us of his presence always with us. Last week as we looked at Exodus 3, this verse is in Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 12. It says this on the screen, should be. I haven't written it down on my iPad, so I hope it's there. Yes, there we go. So, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on his mountain. And the next one. But I will be with you. I will be with you. I am will be with you. And he will continue to work in and through you, just like he did through Moses. Even though he was not terribly confident of his own voice, of his own self, he still did amazing things in the power of the Lord. God will be always with us and will always be at work in and through us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is criticized for healing on the Sabbath. But he says this, "My Father is still working, so I am still working. My Father is working, I am working." God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is still at work in his world and still works in and through of us, through us. So we can be assured of his goodness to us. You know, even when we're staring at the goodness and the power of God's glory, like Moses was staring at that bush and hearing the voice of the Lord, still feeling doubt and unbelief, we can still be assured that that God who did that is still here and is still at work in and through us. And when God calls, when I am calls, he will equip you. He will be with you. He will be ready to listen to you as you go through that path that he has laid before you. We can have confidence in his purposes and in his plans. And then secondly, Moses says this, you know, he's questioning God's choice. He's saying, "No, Lord, not me. Not me, not me. Why would you choose me?" He's questioning what God has decided. He says this, "I am not eloquent, neither in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." You might remember that Moses is a very educated man. For 40 years, he'd had the best education that Egypt could have provided. Well, maybe over 40 years in the desert, he's decided the only people I can speak to are sheep. You know, maybe he's lost his voice and his sense of himself. Maybe speaking Egyptian and Hebrew at the same time or going between the two languages is too much. We just don't know. But his 40 years learning eloquence and language and all sorts in Egypt has ended 40 years ago. He's saying, "That's way back then, Lord. I can't do it now. Maybe 40 years ago, if you'd called me, I could have done it, but not now." His confidence in himself and his voice has gone. What he needs again, though, is the confidence of God, his Godfidence. You see what I did there? His Godfidence. He needs the confidence of the Lord. He needs his presence with him. And the Lord reminds him of it. You know, God doesn't get angry when Moses says, "Who am I?" He doesn't get angry when Moses asks, "Why would I go there? Why would you send me to them? What should I even say to them? Who am I to go before Pharaoh?" He's not angry when Moses disbelieves his word. You know, suppose they don't believe me. What if they don't listen to me? What if it's too big a story? He's not even angry when Moses claims that he's not, never has been eloquent. He's not able. God loses his patience when Moses is just plain stubborn. When he's saying, No, no, Lord, I'm not going. We wouldn't know what it is to be stubborn, would we, as a human people of the Lord? You know, there might be 100 understandable reasons why Moses was stubborn and unwilling. Some of them might make a lot of sense to us. Perhaps Moses really wanted to serve, but was unwilling because of past rejection, because he felt unworthy. But the truth is that Moses was not unable. His doubts and his fears and his excuses and his stubbornness got in the way. And God responds to him in this beautiful statement about his sovereignty and his power. The ability of God, he says, who is it? Who is it that's made man's mouth? Who makes him mute? Who makes him deaf? Who makes him seeing? Who makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? It's me. You're speaking to the creator of the world, the one true God, the creator of all things. You can do all things through me. But he says to him, all right, I'll use Aaron. We'll use Aaron instead. Now, Aaron is a smooth talker, right? But he's lacking on content, as we'll probably see later on. This is Aaron of the golden calf and all sorts. So Aaron might have the right words, but he's lacking on content. But he becomes sort of becomes Moses's kind of like newsreader, do you know, on Newsnight. He's a Hugh Edwards of the story here. But it's Aaron who's going to speak, but it's Moses through who God is going to do all these amazing things. And he's going to do it through what God has placed in his hands. God asks him, what is in your hands? And he says, a staff, a simple shepherd's staff. And all the signs that God uses here, they all involve his hands, Moses' hands. Do you see this? You know, the staff that's in his hand, it turns into the snake on the ground. The hand that goes into his, in and out of his cloak, becomes leprous and then goes back in again and comes out healed. And then God says, I'll use you to pour out water that turns into blood as it reaches the ground. Through what he has in his hands, God is going to do amazing things. It's just a simple shepherd's staff. I borrowed this from my dad. I rang him and asked him, Dad, have you got a big walking stick or a staff or something? And he says, I've got one. He says, no, it only comes up to my hip, but like it'll look much bigger whenever you hold it. I thought, that's awful rude. But anyway, it's a simple staff through which God would do amazing things. This is the staff that Moses has in his hand whenever the Red Sea parts. It's the staff that strikes the rock and water flows from the rock. It's the staff that he holds in the air as rain and thunder and hail, as locusts come upon the Egyptians. It's the staff that is raised in the air as the Israelites fight the Amalekites. Remember in the story where he holds it aloft, and as long as he holds it aloft, the Israelites prevail. God used what was in Moses' hand. He used his tools of the trade. So Moses' years out in the desert tending sheep are not useless. God used what was in his hand for his glory. He didn't use the royal scepter that he had in his hand those 40 years ago when he was a prince of Egypt. He used a simple staff as a sign of transformation. Transforming Moses' prospects, what he thought his life was going to be. Transforming the prospects of the Israelites, what they thought their lives and their future was going to be. It transformed what the Egyptians thought of themselves in all their glory. They would be totally upended by what God would do in and through Moses and what he placed in Moses' hands. I'll ask you today, you know, what is it that God has placed in your hands? What is it that he's given you that you can use for his glory? The Lord says, what is in your hands? What is your tools of the trade that in God's power you can do mighty things? God wants to use what we have at our fingertips. you know, our talents, our abilities, where we find ourselves in work, when we find ourselves amongst our friends and our family, God wants to use you. The things that you think in your life are just simple things. But through those simple things, God can do amazing things. And the Lord says, go. Use what's in your hand and go. What will our response be? You know, will it be like Moses and we'll have an excuse or two up our sleeves? Will we question? Will we be just plain stubborn like Moses was? Why me? What me? Who me? No way. God can and will use us, and he will send us. And if I am called, he will go ahead of you, because God has made a choice, and his choice is you. And you are part of his plan, and he wants you to be part of that story. So what is in your hand this morning? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have placed us in the place that you would have us be, that we have a place in your plan, that you love us, that you have called us to be your hands and your feet. So we ask ourselves this morning, what is in my hand? How will God use me? How will God use me for transforming this world? So we pray these things in his son's name.